Once again, my thank you for all of you that are here today in this assembly for your faith. And we pray, as always, that as the disciples prayed and asked Jesus, increase our faith. We want to be people who are not stagnant in our faith. We preached about that last Sunday from God's Word. We realize being stagnant in your faith literally over time diminishes your faith. And the problem with that is that you don't do the things you used to do. And if you look at yourself in the mirror of your soul, which is God's Word, He will reflect back to you what kind of person you are. And when you see that, you don't want to walk away and forget what manner of person you saw in that mirror. You want to respect God's Word. You want to think back on how it used to be in your life, how you used to worship. And I pray that will change hearts to do the things the way that they used to know they should be done. You know, the song that we just sang is so important to our lesson today. In this song, we're asking Jesus to open our eyes. And we want to open our eyes so that we can turn away from the ways of this world. And we want to have not only our eyes opened, but we want to have that great love for Christ, that desire to reach out to Him. And as we look further, open our eyes, it says, help us to listen. And we're going to talk about people who just have a lot of trouble listening. Even faithful people whose eyes and ears, they're not working the way they should be, spiritually speaking. And he also goes on, open our minds. Help us to take it in and to consume that great Word of God. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Well, you know, the lesson today is simply called Turn Them. That's all it is. Just turn them. You know, that's why Jesus came down from the glories of heaven to be with us. You look at what we read in the scriptures from Acts chapter 26. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith. I want you to be thinking about what that is actually saying. God is telling us that He will, you know, He told Paul, this is written by Paul about his conversion experience. It's written by Paul explaining to the king, hey, listen, I was once on this road, and now I'm on this road. There was a change in my life. I turned from my sinful ways, realizing who Jesus is and following after Him. And the apostle Paul is told by Jesus that he's going to be delivered from the Jews and from the Gentiles. He's going to be protected, right? God's going to protect him. Jesus says, I'm going to take care of you. You don't worry about your enemy. I'm going to take care of you. And then he goes on to tell him that he's going to send him to do something. And when you listen to this message, realize that Paul is telling us what Jesus told him. And that's going to apply to us. And we'll see that a little bit later, Lord willing, in the lesson. He says that he's going to send Paul out to open their eyes. And I want you to, you know, again, that's part of the lesson, but to open their eyes. You know, the world that we live in, their eyes are closed spiritually. And he's going to turn the people away from darkness to light. And so we ask the question, why do people need their eyes open? Why do we need our eyes open? Okay, well, obviously it's important. Jesus says, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light. He says, lest the darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. You know, we all know that without light we can't see, even though our eyes are open. And the light that Jesus is talking about here, the light that we need to have, is Jesus. He is the light of the world. He came down from the glories of heaven, and he is the light of men. Even though men don't comprehend that, it is Jesus who is our light. And we can walk in this world as so many do, with our eyes spiritually shut. You know, we see people, I know that you've seen this, people with cell phones whose eyes are so focused on that phone that when they walk around, they walk out in the middle of traffic, they walk out in front of cars, right? And when they do that, sometimes they run into poles. And I'm not guiltless. I've had my phone where I walked and bumped into something. I'm not blind. Am I blind? I'm not blind. But that's what it means to walk in darkness, to be spiritually blind. Your eyes are not focused on the light. Your eyes are not focused on the things of God. Your eyes are focused on the things of the world. And you're busy doing this instead of doing this. That's what he's saying. The people who walk in darkness, they don't know where they're going. And listen, that's the commentary on the world that we live in today. Right? The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble, Solomon says. We go through life apart from Christ, and we do sinful things, and we don't even know we're sinning. Until that light of Christ is brought into our hearts, we have no idea that what we're doing is so bad. You know, it's like a child that rightfully doesn't really know good from evil. They do bad things. They say bad things. They don't know what they're doing until some parent or an adult or somebody of knowledge comes along and says, listen, what you're doing is wrong. When I was a young child, you know, I lived in Norton, Ohio, and they were building brand new homes on our street. And these homes were partially built. They just put in all these brand new windows. And my brother and I threw a rock, and it went through a window and broke it. It sounded really cool. So we picked up rocks and broke all the windows. Of course, we got caught. Didn't understand right away, why are you so mad at us, Dad? Why are we punished? Well, he taught us. In fact, what he did is he took all of our new toys. This was around Christmas. He took all the new toys that we just got, and he broke every one of them in our sight. He didn't beat us. He just taught us what it means to do wrong. And I'll tell you what, I've never broken a window since. He put light into my eyes. You know, in Isaiah chapter 5, at verse 20, and we read this: "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Who are those people? What does it mean when Jesus says, "Woe"? It means stop. It means condemnation. You know, if you know about riding horses, that's what you do. You say to that horse, "Whoa, you don't want to go in that ditch. Whoa, I don't want to go over that cliff." That's how you stop a horse. Jesus wants us to stop our sin. And in the world that we live into today, you know, turning a good into evil. Isn't that what's happening today? Isn't that what people do today? The world that we live in, it is disgusting, full of lewdness, unrighteousness, and sin. The world that we live in today, you know, I read in Oklahoma, I was going to put a picture up on here of this principal in Oklahoma, a drag queen. They made him a principal. Not only a drag queen, but he was guilty of child molesting. Guilty of child porn. And they made him a principal. We live in a world today where we're teaching young children in kindergarten to grow up and believe that the boy's not a boy, the girl's not a girl. You have to have drugs and surgeries to change your identity. We live in a world where people are killing babies every single day. By the hundreds, by the thousands, by the millions. And we sit in this darkness as lights. And we better be. This is a wicked, just a world full of lust. Everywhere you look, everything you see, young children, teenagers are being brought up on TV shows that are all about sex, all about lust. They are so confused about what love is. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You think about what that love means. And you know why the problem goes on? It's because people are professing themselves to be wise. And as a result, they become fools. Right? That's what happened in that Oklahoma school. They thought they were smart. Oh, look, you know, we're going to be coexist in the world with all the woke and the foolishness and the nonsense, but we don't want to upset anybody. We don't want to, you know, shake or tip the cart. And so we're just going to overlook common sense. We're going to overlook decency. We're going to overlook morality. And we're just going to show the world that we're with you. That's what it's happening. That's what's happening. So they're walking in darkness. They don't know where they're going. And they're stumbling because of what they're doing. You know, look at Isaiah chapter 5. And you kind of see what's going on. In chapter 5 and verse 21, Jesus gives us another woe. He says, "Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Tell me how a doctor who swore to do no harm can have a baby born fully, drill holes in that baby's head, and claim to be wise." in their own eyes. How can anybody, human, anybody with any kind of human decency do such a thing? And yet it is done. There are states all around the country who are voting yes or no on whether that's going to happen in November, especially in Ohio. I don't understand. Drilling holes in a baby after it's born to kill it is okay, and yet there are people who will vote for that. Some of them do that out of ignorance. They don't understand the issues. Their neighbors vote in this way, so they vote that way. But we better wise up. Our votes count. I'm not trying to be political. I'm just saying, how can somebody, knowing the vote is going to allow abortion from conception to birth, live with themselves? I'll tell you how. Because they're not looking into that mirror of their soul. They are walking in darkness. They have no concept of what they're doing. Listen to me. They look into the mirror every morning to shave and to fix their hair and put on makeup and that kind of thing. But the mirror of the soul is God's Word. God's Word is the light. That Word is the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. That Word is the light that guides us and directs us in all righteousness and all holiness. And we need to heed God's Word. Verse 22, woe to men mighty at drinking wine. Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink. I marvel when I go up Northfield, south, down Northfield, and I see the state liquor store. Do you know, and this is a fact, the World Health Organization says that alcohol outweighs all the drugs and the bad effect of drugs, bad effect of marijuana, bad effect of cocaine, bad effect of all the drugs. That alcohol in the world does more damage, kills more people, destroys more families than all the other drugs combined by number. Why do we have state-owned liquor stores? Why do people drink alcohol? Why do some Christians try to claim that it's okay to drink a little bit here and there? When God said in Proverbs chapter 20, wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and anyone who partakes is and led astray and is a fool. He uses that term. They walk in darkness. They do not know where they're going. They're calling good evil and evil good. Alcohol destroys families. It's a good thing. Babies are being killed by the millions. And that's a good thing because they didn't want the baby in the first place. It's their body. They have the right. But it's not your body. You were created. You were given a body to hold your eternal soul. That body, this body doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God, just like everything else. You know, as you think about what's happening in the world, we know what we need to do. The scripture that we read in the opening tells us that Paul is told by Jesus, I'm going to send you out to the world to turn what? To turn them. What does it mean to turn? Well, it according to Webster, it's to direct one's course, to reverse a course or direction. In this context, that's what it means. I mean, it also means to twist or to turn to an arc or a circle or to... But in the context, it means to change directions. Paul was sent to change direction, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light. And what does it mean to turn them? How do we do that? How do we accomplish that? Jesus said that when he came out, he saw a great multitude. Mark is telling us this. And Jesus, when he came out, he saw a great multitude. This was after the transfiguration. He sees this great multitude and he was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep having no shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. How is he turning them? How does he turn us? How did you turn from sin to righteousness? How did you go from being lost in your sins to being saved in Christ's blood? You got turned. Somewhere, somebody turned you. You have to be turned. That's how it works. And you have to have compassion for those who are unturned. Right? 2 Timothy. This is how it works. Timothy says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, whom will judge the living and the dead and is appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince them, rebuke them, exhort them with all long suffering and teaching. That's how you turn people. Preach the word. And there isn't anybody in this room that can't do that. What are we turning them? How? What are we doing? We're turning them from darkness. God is the one who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. That's you. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And then he turned right around and said, you are the light of the world. When he went to heaven, he left the light here in believers. And he said, who has shone in our hearts to give light to the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We need to be lights to turn people. They're not going to turn if we walk in darkness. You can claim to be a Christian all you want, but if you're not doing the will of God, if you're not telling people, having compassion on that lost soul, you walk out this door, you go to Walmart, and you're going to go up and down the aisle with 1,000 people in that store, and as far as you know, every single soul in that store is lost. And you walk right by. They don't see any light. They're not going to be turned. We're sent to turn. That light has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God, and we need to share it. What is darkness? Darkness is all unrighteousness. It's all sin. It's everything that God said don't do. It's the opposite of holiness. He said, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy. Listen, look at Romans chapter 1. Paul in verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who, what do? They suppress the truth in unrighteousness. What are you doing with the truth of Jesus Christ every day in your life? What do you do when you meet somebody new? What are you doing for that lost soul? Are you suppressing the truth with some excuse like, oh, I can't talk to people? I'm not that kind of person. That's not my gift. Yeah, we all have gifts. We're really good at cooking. Some are really good at building some other things. That is not an excuse for not evangelizing. Don't use an excuse like that's not my gift. That's not my talent. It's a command. It's not an option. Tell them who are in darkness about the light. What is the light? We turn on them to the light, right? This is the message which you have heard, which we have heard from him and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Tell them about God. Tell them about the light. Explain to them about sin. Turn them from the power of Satan by the word of God. Turn them from the power of Satan by the word of God. Not by your own power, not by your own ability, not by whether you're good at it or not good at it. You plant a seed. You water the seed. That's all you do. It's God who brings forth the increase. It has nothing to do with you. If there is a fertile heart, you don't know, but God knows. And if that heart's fertile, it's going to yearn for more. It's going to have a zeal, a desire to know God more. And all you did was open a door by planting a seed, the God's word, and watering that seed. Teach them. You know what? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to all who believe. Romans 6:16, do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness. Are you a slave to sin? If you see somebody walking in sin and you do nothing, that's sin to you. Right? Are you a slave to sin? Do you hold back the good news of Jesus Christ in your heart? Do you store that up in your heart? And do you ignore the needs of others, even in the church? Do you not care how people feel when you're not here? Do you not care how God feels when you're not here? Do you not care anymore? I guarantee you that if you look into the mirror of your soul and go back a few years, 1, 2, 3, 5, a decade, doesn't matter, you'll see a day when you knew you were here every single time the doors were open and you had no excuse for that because you loved the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul. What changed? And why? Are you wise in your own eyes? Have you forgotten that he who died that we've been freed from our sin? To do what? To sit at home playing with the kids? To sit at home watching TV? To sit at home playing games and video games or surfing the internet? What changed? Jesus Christ, while we were yet still in our sins, Christ died for us. And we don't think that's important anymore. I know it used to be important to you. I know that every soul in this room who calls themselves Christian at one point in time obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I know that your zeal is not the same today if you're not doing the same things you did then. My wife used to work for the Boy Scouts of America, and there was a young district executive there who I told him I'm a Christian and I love the Lord God. I talked to everybody in that place about Jesus, everybody at camp about Jesus, every parent, every person I ever met, and I still do today. He said to me then, I used to be like that. Listen to that, condemning himself. I used to be like that. He said, but Dave, it'll go away. It'll fade. Your zeal will be deadened. Your passion. He condemned himself with those words. And I want to tell you that my zeal hasn't changed. And I pray to you, you can say the same thing. I'm nobody special. No better, no worse. But there are lost souls who are in darkness, following people who change darkness, goodness into evil, and evil into goodness, who change the light to darkness. And if we don't grow in Christ, we're stagnant. And last week we talked about stagnant. That's a downward slope. What are we turning them to? To God, right? Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, right? Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus went to heaven. Jesus told his disciples, you are the light of the world. You're the city that's set on a hill and can't be hidden. Does everybody you meet know that you love Jesus? Does everybody that you meet know that you know about being sinful and about being saved? Does everybody you meet matter to you? Does their soul matter to you at all? The most precious thing God ever made, it isn't this body. It's the soul that's in the body. That's the soul that's eternal. It has a destination, and you can turn somebody from hell to heaven if you really care. Paul said, as far as God's concerned, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. Somebody cared about you. Altogether, Jesus. God cares for all men. He desires all men to be saved. You, if you wear the name Christ, you know what that means? You're a little Christ. You know what that means? It means that you're saved. It means that you walk in this world as lights of the world. That's what it means. Are we being lights in the world? You know, we've gone through these words, and bottom line, that's what they are. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. If we're doing what God has commanded us to do, to go out into all the world, make disciples of men, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and then teach them to do whatever I commanded you, then we are lights. But if we're using things like, well, that's not my talent, that's Dave's talent. We're not lights. We're not light. John, 1 John, if we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him and with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sins. Here's truth. The wages, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Because of that, the wages of sin is death. The gift of life is eternal life in Christ Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but everlasting life. Loved. You know what that means, right? Service. Jesus came down from heaven to serve. SOS. Service. O. Obedience. Jesus was obedient to the Father in all things. S. Sacrifice. Are you serving the Lord God, and are you serving the men around, women around you? Are you obedient to the commands of Jesus to go out and to preach the gospel, to be the light of the world? And are you sacrificing things? Sacrifice your time. Sacrifice the possessions that God has given you. Use everything to the glory of God, because that's what love is. And if you say, I have love, I love like God loved, then you better be serving, you better be obedient, and you better be sacrificing. Truth. Having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven and earth among men by which we must be saved. There's no other way. It's all about Jesus. You want the gospel according to Jesus? You have to believe what you've been taught by God. That's what draws you to Jesus, the Word of God. You have to accept that. Believe that Jesus died for your sins. Believe that he is the Christ. And if you don't accept him, you'll die in your sins. Repent of your sins. Turn away from the sinful nature you have into the light of God, into the righteousness of God. Turn away and say, I'm not going to lie anymore. I'm not going to do this or that that I know is wrong. And then confess Jesus before men, be baptized, and you'll be saved and live the rest of your life faithful until the moment of death. Not the year before you die. Not a month. Not a 10 years. When do we stop? At the moment of death. I appreciate your kindness and your patience with me. And I really hope this message has helped. I really pray that it sunk in. We have a song of invitation. If you'll turn there, song number 811. I am coming, Lord. There's a voice calling you. Let me tell you, my wife and I were coming home from a luncheon with some friends down in Canal Fulton Way. And on the way home going north on 21, I saw a big box, right in the middle of the highway on the southbound side. And I told Sharon, there's going to be an accident. Somebody's going to die. I need to move that box. So I did a U-turn a mile up the road, came back, got off the side of the road, pulled that box off to the side, and it was heavy. There was something in it. There were two chairs worth $300 a piece on sale. Number one. That box represents you, the chairs. That's you. And coming at you is the devil. And he's going to crash into you. He's going to destroy you. He's going to devour you if you don't get off of that road. Two. When I got home the next morning, I called the only company north of where we were that sold that kind of furniture, Arhaus. The woman told me, we have no way of knowing who bought it, but give me your name and number, and if somebody comes and says something about it, we'll have them call you. Well, I got a phone call yesterday. Sharon got it. A woman called, so thankful that somebody saved her chairs. They saved her chairs. She went out looking for them. She said she spent hours that night driving up and down the highway trying to find her chairs. That's what Jesus did for you. He came from heaven to find the one, you, among the many. You need to be the one that can rejoice because you were found when you were lost. And you need the one that recognizes there's other people on that wrong road, and Satan's trying to devour them, and you're the only one that can help them make the U-turn. And if you're with us today and you haven't obeyed the gospel, listen, life is a vapor. You are like that box in the middle of the highway with cars rushing at you, spinning around, trying to avoid killing you, and yet one day you'll get hit. You can change all that. You can get off that road simply by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ up there. You can repent of your sins today. You can be baptized today into the body of Christ. Your sins can be washed away by His blood. And if you haven't done that, do it now. And if you're with us today and you're a member of the body of Christ and you have something going on in your life that's preventing you from living the way you know you should, repent of that today. Be made right with God today. Start anew. Get back to where you know you should be. Then you can say to God, I am coming, Lord. Coming to Thee. If you have a need, please come forward now as we stand and as we sing.